Open a Bible with me if you would. 1 John 4:7-8. Man, I love the Apostle John. John, the beloved disciple. John, one of the sons of thunder, the zeal and the fervor that he had for Jesus. But John actually gives us the example of one of those disciples who actually lived longer than most. So many of the others, their story ended in tragedy. Tragedy in the name of Jesus, which, by the way, if you're living through a tragedy right now, maybe invite God to show you how he's redeeming it. At any rate, John lived longer than most, long enough to be referred to as John the Elder. And as he got older, he came to realize what was the most important. Some of you have had some of those crux moments in your life, right? Some of those moments when all of a sudden the things that seemed to matter so much stopped mattering quite as much. Maybe it was when you went under the scalpel. Maybe it was when you went before the judge. But you've had a moment. You've had a moment that caused you to change the price tags on some of the things in your life. Some of the things that you treasured the most kind of went down. You know what I'm talking about, in value. And some of the things that you can't hold in your hands became the most priceless of all. John got to the place in his life where two things, guys. Love God and love each other. Love God and love each other. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things would be added. Love God and love one another. Keep loving God and loving each other. Jesus had said it when they asked him, what's the first and greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And by the way, while you're at it, love your neighbor as yourself. John said it this way in one of the letters, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. In fact, John goes so far as to say, if you say you love God, whom you've not seen, and yet hate your brother whom you have seen, you're a liar. You're lying to yourself. You're certainly lying to God. If you say you love God, whom you have not seen, and yet hate your neighbor whom you have seen. Well, that's what I'd like us to come to grips with today, just a little bit. Because there's this place where Jesus says to his disciples, it's in John chapter 13, he says, look, a new commandment I give you, a new commandment, love one another. Let me just pull it up and read it for you, because I've got it marked here in my Bible. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's interesting the standard that Jesus offers for it, right? You know, not love as you've been loved, right? A lot of us have tried to live that way, with that kind of standard. If you love me, I'll love you back. I will. If you love me, if you bless me, if you care about what I care about, if you come into my life, if you come, I will reciprocate and I will come into your life. If you love me, I'll love you back. Others of us have actually gone the next step, right? That do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. We've said, I'll live by that. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm going to love you the way I wish you would love me back. And so I'll be the first one to take the step. I'll be the first one to make the move. I'll love you in hopes that you'll see the sincerity of my heart, in hopes that you'll owe me one and that you'll take the risk to love me back. Not just loving as you've loved me, but loving as I wish you would love me. But Jesus goes even farther when he says, a new commandment I give you. Take what you've been trying, and by the way, here's the test. If what you've been trying isn't working, try something else, right? And Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another, and here's the standard, here's the measure. As I have loved you, So you also must love one another. And here's the question I'd really love you to sort of open your heart to today as we have some time in the Word. Here's the question. How have you been loved by Jesus? And some of you can answer that question in an instant. Oh, I can tell you how I've been loved by Jesus. Jesus showed up for me when I was in the deepest, darkest place. Jesus rescued me and you could tell me in an instant. You could tell me in an instant how Jesus has loved you. But there are others in this very room right now who might have a hard time putting their finger on it, who honestly might almost bow up a little bit and bristle of saying, you know, I had a rough childhood, or I had a rough marriage, or I had some hard times. And I think if God did love me, if Jesus did love me, maybe I would have been spared some of that. Or maybe some of those hard things would not have lasted quite as long. Or maybe they would have never happened at all. So I want you to invite the Lord, not just you figure it out, but invite the Lord to answer the question, how have you been loved by Jesus? I don't know if this helps any, and it may not. It may make it worse. But here's the idea that I have, that you wouldn't be where you are today if not for the path you've been on, right? That great theologian Rascal Flatts, God bless the broken road that brought me back to you, right? But here you are. Here you are, right? Here you are at a moment in time, at a place for you to hear about the God who loved you even when you didn't know he was listening. The God who loved you even when you thought he didn't care. So I want to invite you to, in fact, let me pray that question over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you speak in such a way that we could hear and understand? Father, that we could hear from your Spirit of how you have walked with us, sometimes over us, sometimes before us, sometimes behind us, sometimes to the left and to the right, but in fact, Lord, wrapped somehow in your protection. Oh Father, give us a glimpse of your presence in our lives. Amen? Amen. And so here's the thing. I want to walk you through just some places where God talks about the kind of love that he has for you, the kind of love that he invites you to show to the people that matter in your life, the kind of love that if people were to see you loving that way, they would know that you've been with Jesus, and they would see that Jesus really is for real. And so in Philippians chapter 2, let me pull that up. I've got it marked in my Bible here for you. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus. Have the same mind as Christ Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Man, so encouragement from Christ and comfort from his love, sharing in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons why we gather in worship. That's one of the things that made the quarantine time so insidious on the part of the enemy of our soul, was when we couldn't look each other in the eye and know that our hearts are connected, when we couldn't get face to face and bear one another's burdens, when we couldn't come alongside one another. Oh, What a tool of the enemy that was against our soul. If there's any tenderness, if there's compassion. And there is, isn't there? I mean, there are people that you love so much it hurts. There are people that you love so much that when they're going in the wrong direction, your heart breaks for them. There are people that you care so deeply about that you would almost wish that you could take some of Jesus from yourself and just plant it like a seed into their hearts. And I love the way he says it. Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Join together. Come together. There was a time in my life when it felt really important to me to write down some things that were the core values for our church. Just the things that our foundation was built on. But what I came to realize after I had worked on that and prayed over that and hammered and chiseled over that for a long time, when I finally put it out there, I felt like God tapped me on the shoulder and said, this wasn't for the church, this was for you. This was for you to figure out where your foundation stones are. But it was really pretty basic. It was, I long to be a God-centered person, genuinely treasuring the people that God puts in my life. Taking the risk to be real with people that I trust, giving and receiving grace with people, and in the process of that, becoming more and more like Jesus. I think that's what Paul is talking about in this passage. But I love the way he says it when he comes down to the end of it. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. So how have you been loved by Jesus? Go with me to Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. Romans chapter 12, got it marked right here. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9, let me just read it to you. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope and patient, even in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Paul recognizes that there are some tendencies in us that when left to our own devices, we will default to. There are some tendencies in us that we would measure one another against each other. But Paul says, no, 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 you don't understand. Love is not conditional. Love is not reciprocal. Love must be sincere. And let it be hot with zeal, joyful and patient and faithful. I don't know if you've ever loved somebody who just tested the limits, wanted to find out how long that rope actually was, or where the borderlands started. And so they knew you loved them, but they went as far away as they could just to see what your limits were. Paul says, joyful in affliction, patient in suffering, faithful, faithful. Love each other as I have loved you. Man. I tell my wife sometimes, my motto for her, she doesn't like it when I say this. I said, if I was making a business card for you, I would put the tagline on it. I love to love the people that I love. And she said, well, that sounds like there are people that I don't love. I said, well, there are people you don't love. There are people you don't even know. But the people that you love big. The people that you love deep. The people that you love long. And the more people you get to know, the more people you love. Like that. Love others as I have loved you. Every wedding, I go to 1 Corinthians 13. Every wedding, because it is so crucial to share this with the lovely couple. In fact, Well, this is going on YouTube, so I don't know if I should say it, but I will. I will. Mrs. Hess and Mr. Hess, newlyweds. I read this at your wedding, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As I was working on this, I loved putting this slide together. I loved putting this slide. Love is. Love always. And love never. Love is patient and kind. It's not envious or boastful or proud. But here's the thing. If you live in close enough proximity with someone long enough, the love that you have for them is going to be put to the test. And sometimes love forgets to be patient. Anybody? Can I get a witness? Sometimes love forgets to be kind. Have you ever been sharp-tongued with the people that you love the most? In fact, is your experience the same as mine, that sometimes the people that you love the most get the worst of you instead of the best? Anybody? And the reason this passage is there is to remind us what love looks like, what love is. Patient and kind, not envious or boastful or proud. No record of wrongs. Here's where I bottom out frequently. I can be pretty judgy. And sometimes I can be a scorekeeper. Sometimes I can fall into that deal of, I have done this thing that's important to you 5 times. And you have not done the one thing that I asked you to yet. Oh. But then God taps me on the shoulder. He taps you on the shoulder and reminds you, right? Love others, not as they have loved you. Love others, not as you would have them love you, but love others as I have loved you. Because there's some things that love always does. Love always protects. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love comes to the rescue. Love doesn't wait to be approached. Love actually takes the initiative and goes to the object. That's how God loved me. It was while I was dead in trespasses and sins that God loved me enough to send his son. Love takes the initiative, and love never fails. You may say, Rusty, I have tried to love people that I love who would not receive it. And love failed to break through that hard shell of their hearts. Love failed to penetrate the walls that they had erected. I've seen love fail. I have too. But what I haven't seen is how long love waits to be effective. There are some things that you may not see the return on investment. You want grass tomorrow? Plant ryegrass seeds today. You want an oak tree 25 years from now, plant that acorn. Love is long and kind. Love as I have loved you. In fact, I was practicing this message with a friend the other day. I said, look, I want to just go through my slides with you. I just want to work through the sermon with you. And after we were done, he said, go back to that one about love is, love always, love never. Because here's what I was thinking when you said that. You could just transfer the word love with the name Jesus. Jesus is patient and kind, not envious or boastful or proud. Jesus always protects. He always trusts, always hopes, always loves. Jesus never, ever fails. I was like, dude, I'm going to use that. Oh, because here's the thing, friends. Back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4:7-8, man. Dear friends, let us love one another, right? Love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then it goes on, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. And then this verse, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave. That he loved us and he gave his son. He sent his son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Since God so loved us, this is how we also ought to love one another. And so I want to bring you back to that question, and I intentionally allowed us some time to pray into this and listen into this. As I have loved you, Jesus says, so you must also love one another. But with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me invite you into this question. Would you just sit with this question for a minute? How have you been loved by Jesus? And when I ask that question, your mind may go back years to when you were a little kid in vacation Bible school or Sunday school, or some time when somebody who smelled nice shared the gospel with you and you asked Jesus into your heart. And maybe you got baptized when you were a kindergartner or a first grader. Or maybe it wasn't until you were a teen and life got harder. Life got confusing. Life became disappointing. And things started to grip you. Maybe it was only then you came to know Jesus. Maybe it was only then that you became aware of God's love for you through Jesus. Maybe it's like a buddy who shared with me this morning as he opened his shirt and showed me the scar from the surgery and said, I want to follow Jesus in baptism, because even though I asked Jesus in my heart when I was a little kid, my priorities have been reordered. So let me ask you, how have you been loved by Jesus? What's your experience of being loved by Jesus? Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. Maybe you'd say, Rusty, I look back on my life and I see that God has been present, that God has led and God has guided and God has helped. But honestly, Rusty, as I sit here today, I realize I have never actually given that love in return. I have never actually received that love that in retrospect I see has been lavished on me. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, here's what I want to bring you to. Man, if that's you, then today is your day to come clean with God. Today is your day to recognize, God, you have loved me. God, you did send your son as an atoning sacrifice for me. God, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And oh God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I want to give my life to you. And in just a minute, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to invite you, if you would. And there'll be people here to pray with you. But maybe today's your day for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, to give your heart to Jesus. Or back to Jesus. Let me flip the script on you just a little bit. Would you stand with me in this moment of prayer? Are there people in your life that you love that honestly, for your own mental health you've almost had to give up on. Still in the spirit of prayer, right? Still, it's just your heart to God's heart. When I say that love one another thing as I have loved you, there's something in you that says, oh, I want to, but I've been so burned so many times. I don't know if I can love anymore. Maybe today is the day for you to make your way to this altar and find a place all alone, or Doug and Shauna praying with you, or me praying with you, and just say, Lord, you have placed some people in my life that I love. God, I'm tired. I'm weary. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you relight? Would you reinvigorate? Would you restore? Would you refire in my heart the love for my son that I've given up on, for my daughter that I've given up on, for my husband or my wife that I've all but given up on? But God, I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up. Father, hear our hearts. You know us each by name. You know where we are, and you know who we love. Lord, would you lead us to yourself in this moment?